WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Okay, Bride, we ended yesterday's broadcast with Joshua chapters 1 through 5, and the children of Israel crossed over. God did a miracle. Joshua gathered 12 of the top leaders in each tribe. They grabbed a stone for remembrance. They crossed over. God told Joshua to circumcise all of this new people because they're all the younger generation that's crossing over. And remember that all the cities that are over there now have a lot of fear of the children of Israel because they've heard what God has done. They know God's with them. And they even know that God crossed them over Jordan. So they're all scared to death of the children of Israel. All the kings know about them. And so Joshua did as God commanded. And now we ended chapter 5 with God walking up to him and Joshua falling on his face saying, "Lord, what can I do?" And he said, "Take the shoes off your feet, for this ground is holy." So now we're going to start back with chapter 6 and let's see what happens from there. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Wow, boy, they was scared, huh? And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall come past the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you, which is the shofar, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Okay, now, so we see here in chapter 6 that God has given him instructions about how to take the city. So he is downloading. This is what I call download, because before God sends me into missions, he downloads instructions. And so that's what he's doing here. He is downloading the instructions on how to take Jericho. All right, now let me pause here a minute, Brad. When we remember the last Bible study where God said, listen, you're going into new territory, so drop all your preconceptions about what I'm going to do. You're going to see great wonders, but you have got to follow my commands. Do not put me in a box. Basically, that's what God is saying. And now, look at these commands. Now, all of the books that we have read so far up to this, have we heard anything like this? No. Why? Because God likes being unique. He wants us to obey Him in very unique ways. Okay? Because, like, you think when God told me last year to travel the entire country with that old broke-down car, you know, that had the rod knocking and bald tires and no money, and travel the entire border praying for the country with nothing? See, in your rational mind, you would never do that because it just seems so overwhelming. But we have to be willing when we go into our promised land to obey the Lord at every command, no matter how strange it may sound, because He wants to show Himself different. God is unique. That's what I love about Him. He keeps us on the edge of our seats because He's so unique. Okay, so we have this new assignment that has been given to Joshua. Now let's see what Joshua does with it. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shall shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Let me pause right there. So in other words, Joshua told the people and they obeyed. So the first day happened exactly the way God said it. So now they're going into the second day. And the seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day, they compassed the city once, and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass, now I just want to say this before we go into the seventh day. Can you imagine the people inside Jericho, what they're thinking? They already know what is going to happen because God's already showed Himself. You know, they have got to have fear beyond belief. So let's see what happens here. And it came to pass on the seventh day, that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Oh my goodness! Can you imagine the shout? What it sounded like to the children of Israel, and what did the shout sound like to the people of Jericho? how scared they must have been. Amen. So let's see here. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing. Come on. Come on. Can we say it again? What the Lord says. Do not touch the unclean thing. So this is something else we're learning, Bride. When we cross over into the promised land, do not go back to your vomit. Can I say it again? Do not go back to the world. Do not go back to your vomit. In other words, like when God takes you in the promised land and he prospers you and he opens doors and things begin rolling the way they should, and they all want to take you out to drink, you know, just stand your ground. Keep your sanctity. You know, remember when it talked about when they crossed over into Jordan, it said sanctify yourselves, which means keep yourselves set apart. When you go over there, do not touch the unclean thing. Do not participate in their idols or any of that other mess. Basically is what it's saying. Okay, so, and you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it, but all the silver and golden vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Aww. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Wow, didn't just fall down, but flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Now, Bride, I know this sounds strange, but how many times when God told them to take a city did they have to kill? When God told them to destroy, they had to destroy. And so, the whole point of all this is obeying the Lord. I mean, not saying God's going to tell us to do that today, but I'm just saying that in our past, when we have taken countries, and like when we come over to America, you know, from my understanding, they obey the Lord. So, this is just how God did it. Okay, so let's see here. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all she has, as you swore unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire. And all that was there, in only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. All right, chapter 7.
But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Oh my goodness, what'd they do? For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Oh my goodness. So he stole something he shouldn't have took. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which was beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thereof, for they are but few. In other words, you don't need as many people for that city. Just have a few go and take it. So there went up there the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Wow. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. What happened? I'm missing something. They chased from before the gate even into and smote them going. All right, well, let's see why Joshua's. How did he find out? And Joshua said, At last, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said to Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. Oh, okay, so I get it. The Israelites lost their battle in Ai. Got you. Okay. So Joshua knew something was wrong. He prayed to the Lord to find out. And this is God's answer. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So God let him know, y'all broke the covenant, which means now you're stepping into uncharted territory and you're open to the wolves. And I can't be around you as long as that sin is there. Wow. Boy, this will preach. Yes, it will. All right. Okay, up. Sanctify the people and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou cannot stand before thy enemies until you take away this cursed thing from among you. Well, that's the Lord letting us know we cannot fight battles if we keep sin in the camp. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This means the men have to come up and stand in front of God their self. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he has, all because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has wrought folly in Israel. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine that man that stole that, his wife and his mom, everybody's got to die because of his sin. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zeron, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. He was honest. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonianish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Wow! So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Oh my goodness, I'm going to cry. Woo, can you imagine how those children of Israel felt about this man right now? And Joshua and all Israel with him. Okay, first let me say something. Let me stop right here, Brian. Joshua told them, do not touch the unclean thing. Do not. Okay, so you got this man that does. He touched the unclean thing. Why? Because he was tempted. Why? Because he lusted. He lusted after the money. He lusted after what it looked like, after the gold and everything. So he hid it in his house. He brought the sin in his house, which meant he tainted his whole house. This is why, bride, we've got to clean house. We've got to get the cursed things out, the unclean things out. Okay, so look what happened by this man's sin. Because this man did this, all those people right through here that went to fought the battle of Ai, a lot of them lost their life. 3,000 men. They smote, and the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men. Going down the hearts of people met. All the people, all that right there was unnecessary. Why? Because he touched the unclean thing, which meant all of Israel was affected by this sin. So let's see what happens. I am scared for this man. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons. Now look what all's paying the price. And his daughters, and his oxen. Oh, isn't this sad? And his asses. Look, you would think, why animals? And his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Now look at this, bride, very carefully. Because he had touched the unclean thing, everything around him that he touched was judged. I keep telling people, I said it in my books about the judgment coming to America. If you are attached to a ministry that has sinned before God because they're preaching untruths and ungodly things, you will be affected with it. It's just I don't even know what kind of law you would call it, but it's just a habit that God does. If you're attached to it, you're approving of it. If you're sitting in this church and they're doing all these shenanigans and you participate, you buy their music, you buy their stuff, you go to their concerts, you go to their events, you are supporting that sin, that abomination, that apostasy. So let's see what happens. I'm almost scared to read this. Okay, so they brought him into the valley of Achor, and Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And they had stoned them with stones. Now remember, Bride, I studied, why did God have people stone other people? The reason is because we are houses. We are walking tabernacles. We are stones. And when Jesus is in our life, he is the chief cornerstone. So when they stone them, they're saying, we are rejecting your house. Your stone is useless to us. We reject you and renounce you. So everyone that man was partnered with died. They got stoned to death. Then they got burned in this valley. How sad is that, Bride? Okay, now we're on verse 26. And they raised him over a great heap of stones unto this day. Let me see what this says. And they raised over him. Oh, like cremations, what this thing says. But they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Isn't that something? Basically a valley of abomination, a valley of disobedience, a valley of rebellion to the Lord's commands. Alright, let's go to chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." Wow! Wow, wow, wow! Once they allow God to bring vengeance upon this sin, now the blessings are back on them, and God gave them Ai. "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof." This time he's letting them take the cattle. "Shall you take for a prey unto yourselves, and lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." Okay, back to verse 3. "So Joshua arose, and all the people of war, to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto this city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that they will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say, They flee before us, as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, and the Lord your God will deliver it unto your hand." Now let me pause right here, Bride. Are we catching on that God is doing this city differently? Yes, he is giving different instructions on how to take this city. Alright, let's keep going. And it shall be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord. Shall you do? See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush, and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh, and came before the city, and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men, and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed, before the plain. But he was not, that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made it as if they were beaten before them, and fled by the way of the wilderness. That's slick. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua, and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. Wow. Now, I just want to say this. What did Joshua have in his hand? A spear. He gave it to God, correct? And he obeyed the Lord. So, this is a word to us. What do we have? The Lord knows what we have and what we don't have. So, when we go into our promised land, we give it to him. Lord, you can have it all. What I have in my hand is yours, and if you want to use it, ever how you want to use it, let me know. Also, I think about this with Joshua stretching forth his spear. Is the way that he did Moses, when he told Moses to hold up his rod. Or to throw his rod. I mean, all the commands he told him. So let's keep going. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city, and took it, and hasted, and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. Oh my goodness! And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000. Even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun went down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remains unto this day. Wow. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man has lifted any iron. And they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as a stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them, over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Wow, isn't that neat, Brad? All right, so let's go on to chapter 9. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in the coast of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua, with Israel, with one accord. What? Wow, so they're coming after him united. That they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua, and with Israel, with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are you, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth, Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. Wow, they're coming to make unity because they see what God has done. Isn't that something? In other words, God is sending them reinforcements. Let's see if this is for real or not. This, our bread, we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day that we came forth to go unto you, but now behold, it's dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. Aww. So in other words, they're telling them, we have been coming here for a long time. And the men took off their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Shepherah, and Beeroth, and Kirjathaim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had swore unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. What? But all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. Thus we will do to them, we will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all their congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us? Now therefore you are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua, wow! Wow, wow, wow. They got busted, didn't they, Brad? Isn't that something? They answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told your servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you, therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. Well, at least that is honest. And now, behold, we are in thy hand, and it seems good and right unto thee to do unto us do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place where he shall choose. Wow. So there's the first slaves in the promised land, basically. Okay, we're in chapter 10. Now it came to pass, when Adonizek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jermuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. So in other words, they were forming a posse, but they were coming after Gibeon because they made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, boy, there was kings everywhere, huh? Gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. So the Gibeonites were asking Joshua for help. And help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor, the warriors. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not be a man of them stand before thee. Wow! Joshua therefore came up unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way to goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Mikadah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. What? Wow! That is cool as all get out! Bam in your face, devil! Look what God did! Let me read that again. Verse 11. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than with whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Oh my Lord! That is amazing. God, you are so cool. That is so amazing. Whew, I'm feeling so much better about going to D.C. reading all this. Okay. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of all Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thy moon in the valley of Ajalon. What? And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people avenged themselves upon their enemies. What? Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted. Wow! It says over here, wonders of God. I am in awe. Wow-wee. Well, as I'm flipping the pages, let's just recap here a minute, Bride. Let us just recap. First of all, going into the promised land, we know that we have to obey the Lord at all costs. Even all the odd commands. Stand here at this gate. Do this. Do that. Take them up there wearing this. Doing that. Taking your trumpets. You know, we have to obey the Lord. Even when it sounds so strange. Okay? Then, we have to touch not the unclean thing. We've learned that. Then, as we obey the Lord, He will win every battle. You will win every battle. If you keep yourself sanctified, pure, set apart, consecrated, you will win every battle. It may look overwhelming, but God goes before you, and if He has to, He will rain down hailstones. He will make it happen in your promised land. The key is having faith and trusting Him to do it. Let's keep going. To go about a whole day. Let's see what that sentence was. Okay. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down a whole day. What? That is so funny. And there is no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Wow-wee. Now, we do know the story. We haven't read it yet, but it's coming in the future where God had time, go back 3 hours or something like that. So see how all of God's miracles, they're all different. This is why we cannot put God in a box, because He wants to show out and do something different every time. All right, so here we go. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Wow. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth these five kings unto him out of the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out these kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. Wow! And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Wow. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them. Wow, he did that himself? The main man. Afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanged upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. Wow. And that day Joshua took Makkedah and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed, them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain, and he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also and the king thereof unto the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain therein. He let none remain in it. But he did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libnah, and all Israel with him, unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day. and smote with it the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, the king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left none remaining. And from Lachish, Joshua passed on to Eglon. Boy, he has taken every one of them. And all Israel with him. And they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword. And all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron. And they fought against it. And they took it and smote with it the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. And he left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debar, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein, and he left none remaining. As he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debar, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah, and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and of all their kings. He left there none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. Okay, let me pause here for a moment before we get into the last chapter. All right, Bride, we must consider this. First of all, we must consider that in order for them to go into their promised land, they are going into war. They're going into battle. When you think in the natural, oh, they're going into the promised land, hallelujah. The Lord has given it to them. They're just going to go in there and rest for 100 years and do nothing. No. In order for them to get their promised land, they had to fight. It was war. God was taking them over there. So they had to fight to take territory. Remember what God told him, wherever you put your foot, there you shall have. So when they went over there and they stepped their foot on it, they had to battle while they was there. But remember, some of them kind of feared and said, oh my gosh, some of these are giants, remember? Some of these are so big, we're so scared. But God's like, do not fear, because I'm with you. And the one time they sinned, they got beat. And they saw how they could not fight without the Lord. After they repented and made things right with God, God turned around and helped them to fight every enemy, everyone. And he did it amazingly. So they're still not settled down. We're all the way to chapter 11, Bride, and they still have not taken their territory. It is not mentioned one time that the Israelites started building, that they started setting up camp. No. They had to fight. They had to destroy the past, basically. They had to go in there and take them down, remove the idols. They had to remove the idols, remove the stench out of the land, of the promised land that God had called them to. So, let's go on to chapter 11 and see what happens here. This is the last chapter of today. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jabob, king of Madon, and the king of Shimrod, and to the king of Ashba, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and of the plains south of Shinaroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east, and on the west, and to the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and in the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in the multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. And when all those kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. What? They did it again? Let's go back. I'm confused here. And to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite in the mountains, under Hom, the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in a multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. What? They gathered up this huge army unto the kings that were the north of the mountains and the plains. Oh my gosh. After the children of Israel have taken all these other 20 countries, the rest of them formed this massive army. And it says right here, even as to the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. Oh my goodness, can you imagine what the heart was thinking of the children of Israel? This is like your worst nightmare times 100. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Now we're in verse 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them. Woo-hoo! For tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Come on, God. Oh, I can't wait to see how he's going to do this one. Whew! Thou shalt howl their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them in the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Mesphoramim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hoed their horses, whatever that is, and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor, and smote the king thereof with the sword, for Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. Oh, he was the big guy. And they smote all the souls that were there within the edge of the sword, with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take. Wow, this is something, isn't it, Brad? And smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Isn't that something, Brian? Wow. So, they went over into this fight against all against the massive, massive army. God delivered them. He did it again. So let's see here. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and all the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone, all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all the land, the hills and the south country, and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain, and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same. Even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Belgag, into the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. You would think the other ones would be smart, wouldn't you? For if it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Deborah, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There is none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza. Gath and Ashdod there remaineth. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua, here we go. Here we go. He gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Wow. Well, just like we said, Brian, chapters 1 through 11 was war. They had to go to war to take the land. It was not easy, but he didn't lose people until they sinned. God was with them the whole time. He did supernatural things. He instructed Joshua. He was with Joshua the whole time. And Joshua completed the mission, and now the land rests and they rest. Now, I'm assuming, is their resting time. This is good stuff, Bride, and I pray it's encouraged you today.